This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
On News World Podcast, we're celebrating America's 250th birthday, and I ask my guests how they're spending their 4th of July. Brett Baer.
I will be working. I'll be in Washington because it's a big, big day.
Jared Isaacman.
I plan to be flying in an F-5 fighter jet painted in Freedom 250 colors along with four other fighter jets flying over the nation's capital.
Listen to News World on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
As America marks its 250th anniversary, we're looking back at 2.5 centuries of rebellion and liberty through the eyes of the heroes who defended it.
The whole thing about this country is freedom. If we're not careful, we could lose that.
On Medal of Honor, Stories of Courage, we bring you the defining moments of valor that went above and beyond the call of duty. Listen to Medal of Honor on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun. On a Thursday, oh my goodness, I am so unbelievably excited. And do you know why I'm excited?
You know, freedom is not free.
Because Independence Day is tomorrow, and I am just like, look, you're going to have to get used to this. I'm going to be obnoxious all night long. I can't help it. I love Independence Day. I love my country. It's Ask Dr. Jesse Thursday. Life is freaking good. The questions are amazing. Everything from food to July 4th to the big, beautiful bill to Congress to everything else under the sun will be discussed over the next 3 hours. And before I forget, a half hour from now, the great Mike Rowe. You know Mike Rowe? Mike Rowe, of course, everybody knows who Mike Rowe is. Mike Rowe, the guy who's been teaching us about the greatness of the trades and all that stuff for so long. He knows I'm hot on that too, and he will be joining the show a half hour from now to talk about you and me and jobs and the economy. And yes, Chris, we will discuss what's on the grill for Independence Day. I love it. Okay, I've got to give you a heads up about something. I don't want to talk about the bill. I don't. Maybe you're just now joining us. Maybe you're just now getting in a car. You haven't been paying attention to the news. This was Mike Johnson earlier today.
On this vote, the yeas are 218, the nays are 214. The motion is adopted.
You got it. The bill passed. Maybe you love it. Maybe you hate it. There you go. There's your breaking news of the day. I don't care to talk about it anymore. Sorry, I'm not interested whatsoever. It's gigantic. Way too big, spends way too much. There are some wonderful things in it, some absolutely disgusting, criminal, embarrassing things in it. That's how life goes. Congress is evil, corrupt, and horrible. I'm not going to be dragged down on this day. The bill passed. Trump signed it. Yada, yada, yada. There you go. There's your breaking news. Jesse, do you think there's any chance of an attack on America on the 4th, or more importantly, next year on the 250th birthday celebration? There's a reason I wanted to open up with this question. Maybe. Maybe there is. Maybe Iran's going to go set off a bomb somewhere. Maybe another one of these tranny terrorists is going to go murder a bunch of people. Maybe. I don't know. There could be an attack going on right now. I don't know. But let me tell you something. There is nothing. Nothing in this world that would keep me from celebrating Independence Day. Do you know what I'm doing on Independence Day?
there's this town close to us. Well, I say close, about an hour away. They have the most ridiculous, over-the-top, red, white, and blue, God and country Independence Day parade that morning. Now, I hate parades. Hate parades. I think they're the most boring, lame thing in the world. Not this one. They'll have guns laid out on the table you can just buy. They'll have... They do American Revolution reenactments with squirt guns where the British are shooting squirt guns at the kids and the kids are throwing water balloons back. It is the most over-the-top thing in the world, and I'm going. I don't care what the threats are. I don't care what the danger is. I'm going. And then tomorrow night, I have a vat of fireworks that is probably equal or perhaps exceeding the fireworks that will be set off in many towns across the United States of America. No, it's not for the whole neighborhood. It's just for me. I mean, me, the kids, Ob, my fam, a couple other family members, a couple friends coming over. And there's nothing that's going to stop me from setting it off. And do you know why? Because I am so insanely grateful to be an American. And you should too. What we have here, because it's all we've ever known, if you're an American listening to this, because it's all we've ever known, we don't, even I don't, fully appreciate how amazing it is to live in a country that had a revolution. We had a revolution against the most powerful empire on the planet. You could make the argument that the British Empire, when we had our revolution, was the most powerful revolution or most powerful empire in human history. They had Australia. They had India, America. The sun never sets on the British Empire. All that stuff was true. This ridiculously powerful empire. And yet they started to do what evil, tyrannical governments do. They started to poke and poke and poke. We're not going to let you do this, and we're not going to let you do that, and we're going to tax this, and we're going to abuse you with that, and we're going to abuse you with this. Almost like they were daring us to revolt. Almost like they were daring us to have a revolution. But you know all that. Here's what you maybe don't know. Revolutions are awful almost every single time. Because whenever you remove a government, even an evil one, Mao, we'll make it Mao, maybe the most evil man who ever lived. Even if you had a revolution in China when Mao was busy killing 50 million of his own people, even if that happened, you know who would usually, almost every time, you know who would take over? The warlord who has the most guns and most power, and honestly, is the most violent. That's who wins the wars most of the time. You realize that. The most violent, gun-happy person, weapon-happy person who's able to kill more people than other people, he takes over for the tyrant who just got kicked out, and then he does worse things than the other tyrant did. Actually, that's a really good point, Chris. Haiti's a great example. Haiti, everyone knows about the transatlantic slave trade and all that, and I know America, and then America is the only one, but it was South America, the Caribbean. It was a big business. It was a global business. You'd be hard-pressed to find in that era a more despicable slavery condition than Haiti had at the time, because it was sugar cane, and that's so labor-intensive, and just the abuse. And so you're looking at Haiti at the time, and you're thinking to yourself, wow, they should cast that off. They should have a revolution. They should revolt. And they did. Woo! Yes, let's get rid of them. Yep, Haiti's the biggest dump on the planet today. You could easily argue that Haiti is worse today than it was when they had slaves. They're eating each other in the place. Revolutions don't work out. That's not a thing that happens. Oh, revolutions happen. And the people are as bad or worse off every single time. Now, let's talk about this. The men who led our revolution, they were the top one percenters of their time. It wasn't just, you know, a peasant revolt where you or me were unhappy with the taxes. I can't. No. Our political leaders, our business leaders, Patrick Henry. You know Patrick Henry? Everyone knows at least the saying, give me liberty or give me death. You know that. Patrick Henry was the 5-time governor of Virginia. Our top end elite. They led our revolution against the British crown. And so you have these elite guys, politicians and wealthy people. John Hancock, you know that huge signature on the Declaration? Everyone, John Hancock? John Hancock was like a billionaire. I mean, not a billionaire, but compared to his time, pretty much was a billionaire. Our elite led a revolution against the British crown. Now, let me ask you something. If Jeff Bezos and Donald Trump and Elon Musk and all the elite, Ron DeSantis, we'll make it the political elite too, all the political and wealthy elite, if they all banded together and they had a revolution today, what kind of government would they give us next? Do you think they would all have the kind of government, all agree to give us the kind of government that stripped them of power? That doesn't happen. They would come up with a kind of government that gives them more power and more money, like happens in every other revolution, but not here. Not in the United States of America. We replaced a tyrant with freedom, and that never happens. You, an American citizen, can turn off the Jesse Kelly Show right now and go buy a billboard in your town that says Donald Trump sucks. And you know what'll happen to you? Nothing. Because you are free. A free American. And you are free because we had the greatest revolution ever. I don't care what may happen on the 4th of July. I will be out there waving the red, white, and blue, celebrating the unbelievable blessing that I am an American. And I hope you will join me. By the way, I had a chance to have a discussion today with somebody. He is a professor. He knows more about American history. He's forgotten more about American history than I will ever know in my entire lifetime. His name's Wilfred McClay, by the way. Wilfred McClay. And you know what he told me? I was asking him about how do you teach history, because he's a professor. How do you teach history? How do you teach it? How do you present it? And you know what he said to me? It just blessed me. He said, I feel like I have an obligation as a history teacher to create good citizens. Wow. Oh, hold on. You know where he teaches? Hillsdale College. He's the chair in classical history and Western civilization at Hillsdale College. You think maybe you, your children, would benefit from taking a free online course at Hillsdale College? Just maybe? Free. Hillsdale.edu/Jesse. Do it for Independence Day. Go learn about the Constitution with your kids. Hillsdale.edu/Jesse. We'll be back.
Feeling a little stocky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a magnificent Thursday, Independence Day Eve, in a rebel yell indeed, because we rebelled. We rebelled against tyranny. We rebelled against the evil English king, that piece of trash that he was. And we said no more. No, we will be free. We will cast off our tyrant and we will not replace him with another one. The people of this country will choose their government. They will govern themselves. And that is why I will celebrate tomorrow. It's not because we don't have problems and everything's fine. Blah, 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 blah. I will celebrate because my children live free. And they live free because we fought against tyranny and replaced it with something freaking better. Here's another one. Dear Top 5 Napper, listening to your podcast tonight, hearing a clip of Dome answer the questions on CBS reminds me of how we dodged that bullet. It's the 4th of July this week. We need to celebrate as much as the communists celebrate their BS holidays. We're doing good. Momentum is building. Celebrate wins. And on the 5th, let's keep up the fight. Semper Fi. Maybe we ought to just dwell on that for a moment. Here we are on Independence Day, and I know nothing's perfect. I get that. I know we have all kinds of problems, FBI and spending. I get all that. What's today like with President Kamala Harris? What's today, tomorrow, like with President Joe Biden? I'll tell you what it's not like. It's not this.
The Homeland Security Department released brand new data this week showing that in June, there were a record low number of both nationwide border encounters and illegal immigrant apprehensions at the southern border. Here's the craziest part. There were zero illegal immigrants released in the U.S. You compare that to the highs under the Biden administration when we saw as many as 12,000 encounters per day.
You know what else isn't happening with President Kamala Harris? This
is better than expected?
Yeah, Sarah, it is.
They're talking about the jobs report, by the way.
This is better than expected?
Yeah, Sarah, it is. Look, this jobs market is like the Energizer Bunny. Every single time we expect it to run out of steam, it just keeps going and going. So these new numbers show that the U.S. economy added 147,000 jobs in June. That was well ahead of the expectation of about 118,000, well ahead of some whispers that we heard on Wall Street of a sub-100,000 number. So this is indeed beating expectations. We were also expecting a slowdown. We did not get that. This is basically in line with May, which was revised higher. It's also good news. The unemployment.
You want to feel good about that bill that was passed today? Want to feel good about something else? I'm not even saying I like it. Well, let's go to a Democrat. Why should I like this bill, Hakeem Jeffries?
All out assault on the care, Mr. Speaker, being provided by Planned Parenthood.
The bill is an all out assault on Planned Parenthood. Hey, Hakeem Jeffries. Should I like this bill?
And Mr. Speaker, we want no part of it, which is why we're fighting so hard to stop it.
Sounds like my kind of thing. Why is he fighting so hard to stop it? Or why was he fighting so hard to stop it? Probably things like this.
A deportation machine that will be unleashed on steroids by this one big ugly bill.
Yes, I'm so excited. It sounds wonderful. Anyway, steroids are underrated. No, stop. I don't want you. What, Chris? It's fine. Let me explain. I don't want you to ever do steroids, okay? So I want you to stay away from the roids because I don't want your heart to explode when you're 35. But, man, wasn't baseball, speaking of America, wasn't baseball sweet when everyone was all juiced up? As I've gotten older, I'm getting back into baseball, and I love it now. Don't get me wrong. But everyone complained. Everyone complained that all the players had biceps the size of my thighs and that were jacking 80 bombs a year. That's the most fun I've ever had watching baseball in my entire life. That's fine. It's not my dad. He's not my strength coach. Go ahead. Jam that needle in your arm, buddy, and hit one out for all of us. Sorry, Chris. I'm going to clean that up. I told you I'm in a good mood. And when I'm in a good mood, sometimes the show can take a dark turn. All right. It can take a dark turn because I'm a dark person. Really, especially now I've been out in the sun. Dr. Tiny Hands, I have two questions for you. Like you, I never paid attention in school, so I'm still green on the different branches and their powers. Who has more power, the House or the Senate? Or is it like comparing apples to oranges? Also, they both suck something awful. What, which group of people are the worst, are worse rhino-wise, House members or Senate members? Let's talk about this. First, who has more power, the House or Senate? That is definitely like comparing apples to oranges. You kind of nailed that one. Keep in mind, there's what the Senate is now, and there's what the Senate was supposed to be. And because of something horrible called the 17th Amendment, what the Senate is now is totally different than what the founders had intended. So let's discuss this because, look, it's American Revolution time. I mean, no, whoa, hold, stop. Don't have a revolution. We're talking about Independence Day. And so the American Revolution and our Constitution and our form of government, it's going to be on people's minds. Let's discuss what was the intention of all of it and where that brought us now. But you're going to have to wait on that because we're talking to Mike Rowe next. Mike Rowe's going to talk about jobs, trades, other things. And then I swear on my life, we'll geek out on Constitution stuff and Senate and House and everything else. I bet Mike Rowe takes chalk. I bet he does. Seriously. Anybody who works with his hands like Mike Rowe does and encourages others to do the same, you know what he has? Testosterone, a lot of it. And I bet, look, he's perfectly aware that our water is full of estrogen. Full of estrogen. I mean, you heard Hakeem Jeffries. You think this water isn't full of estrogen?
And Mr. Speaker, we want no part of it.
Okay, Chris, did you detect a little lisp in there? Hey, Mr. Speaker.
And Mr. Speaker, we want no part of it. Which was...
He needs a male vitality stack. It'll clean that right up. Well, even if it won't, his T levels will be up 20% in 90 days. Do you want to feel good? Not just about Independence Day, 365 days a year, full of energy, ready to go, focus. Go get some natural herbal supplements from the hardcore patriots at Chalk. Chalk is life-changing. It'll change your life. Give them 90 days. You are going to have a better life. Call them. Text them. 50CHOQ3000. 50CHOQ3000. We'll be back with Mike Rowe.
Jesse Kelly returns. Next.
This is Newt Gingrich, former Speaker of the House and a proud American citizen. I'm celebrating America's 250th birthday on my podcast, Newt's World, with 15 special episodes. And I've got some great guests. Walter Isaacson, Jonathan Turley, Brett Baer.
I will be working because it's a big, big day. I'll be in Washington and have all kinds of coverage through the day of America 250.
Rachel Compass Duffy.
There's nothing like American music. We're the home of rock and roll. We're the home of rap. We're the home of pop music.
Eric Metaxas. Jared Isaacman.
I plan to be flying in an F-5 fighter jet painted in Freedom 250 colors, along with four other fighter jets flying over the nation's capital.
The story of the national anthem and the President of the United States, Donald J. Trump. Join me, and let's celebrate America's 250. Listen to Newt's World on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
2026 marks the 250th anniversary of America. The soul of this country is found in the stories of those who defended it. I'm J.R. Martinez, a U.S. Army veteran. I know that true valor isn't just a word. It's a choice made in a split second. That's why I'm honored to bring you a brand new season of Medal of Honor, Stories of Courage from Pushkin Industries and iHeart Podcast. You'll fly into the heart of a rescue mission with Air Force pilot James Fleming in Vietnam.
I'm going to put you out in the middle of hell. If you have to come home, I'll bring you home. That's my duty. It's my honor.
We'll also travel back to 1926 to witness Richard Byrd's historic flight over the North Pole. These are more than just stories of combat. They are testaments to leadership, community, and the human spirit. Listen to Medal of Honor on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a magnificent Thursday. Oh my goodness, I'm so excited for fireworks in the parade with guns and God and America. Gosh, I love Independence Day. And I'm so excited to talk to Mike Rowe. Joining me now, somebody I've respected for a very long time. And honored to have him on the show. I love his content and love how he encourages young men to perhaps forge a different path than what society's telling them to go along. CEO of Mike Rowe Works Foundation. Do I have that right, Mike?
That's close enough, man. Yeah, that's me.
Mike,
Why shouldn't everybody go to college? I was always told, you got to go to college. You got to go to college. Do you just want young men to be poor?
First of all, thanks for the kind words. I stumbled across something you put up on X the other day, and I don't know if you saw it, but I actually commented on it because it's the same thing I've been screaming for 17 years. But look, the short answer is we're individuals. And, you know, when you get into politics and when you start hearing people paint with a very broad brush, you know, you start to get these platitudes. And all of them are well-intended, but none of them really make any sense. And the idea that a four-year degree is the best path for the most people is right up there with one of the most harebrained ideas that's ever been put forth. You know, you can walk it back to the day we took shop class out of high school. And ever since then, to varying degrees, we've gotten it into our heads that our kids are going to be screwed if they don't borrow whatever it takes to get a four-year degree. And that has caused so many problems. I know you're familiar with most of them, but just so your listeners know, in no particular order, we have 7.6 million open jobs available right now. Most of them don't require a four-year degree. We have $1.7 trillion of student loans on the books that's never going to get paid back. We're lending money we don't have to kids who can't pay it back to train them for jobs that don't exist anymore. And it really all spins out of this misguided idea that everybody needs a four-year degree.
No, I just love that, and I've always loved that. But granted, I come from a construction family. It's what I did. It's what my father did. It's what my grandfather did. And I think there's a couple things, just in my opinion, that people get wrong about this. First, they think that being sweaty or dirty somehow is bad. You know, if you don't work in the air conditioning, then you have a bad job. My dad made a ton of money. He got sweaty and dirty his entire life. And I think they think it means you're going to not have as much money. But I've worked with somebody who had $100,000 in college debt. He was making $12 an hour. He's never going to pay that off. Yet there's a plant a mile from my house. After you're done with your education, you can start at $150,000 a year. It's just not true that sweat's bad for you, and it's not true you're going to be poor.
Well, this is, you know, from your mouth to God's ears. You know, I mean, it was, it's funny. 22 years ago, I shot the pilot for Dirty Jobs and tried to sell it. And it was a tough sell. None of the networks wanted it. You know, Discovery finally took it, but really just to shut me up. They had other plans for me, and I just, you know, did a couple episodes of this thing. Because for the exact reason you're saying, Jesse, the network executives are not much different than concerned parents. You know, they want to make the right call. And at the time, nobody had ever really celebrated jobs that take place out of sight and out of mind and that require you to deal with feces from every species and all sorts of these other things. It just didn't seem like something people would want to watch. But holy cow, man, once that pilot went on the air, we got thousands, tens of thousands of letters from viewers, not telling me how funny I was or how much they loved the show necessarily. It was more about, hey, Mike, if you think that's dirty, wait till you see what my dad does, my brother, my cousin, my sister, right? And so there was a real enthusiasm for the country that a lot of people have missed that comes down to celebrating an honest day's work and really paying tribute to people who show up early, stay late, you know, go to work clean, come home dirty, and somehow keep polite society on the rails. So I got very lucky with that show. It was ahead of the curve. And so when I started MicroWorks on Labor Day of 2008, it was really just a love letter to a couple million open jobs we had at the time that nobody seemed to want. Today, it's something else. And I'm not really sure how to describe it, but I'll tell you, we've awarded $13 million in work ethic scholarships. We've helped train 2,500 men and women for a long list of jobs that need to get done, but simply don't have the popular enthusiasm behind them. But most of them pay well into the six figures. So that's kind of what I do with my life these days. I work with big companies. I work with governors. Governor Abbott and I are embarking on a big endeavor to help Texas lead the charge to close the skills gap and reinvigorate the trades. CEOs from companies from sea to shining sea, believe me, they've got the memo. The shortage of skilled workers is real, and it's about to become a problem that's going to be headline news, I'm afraid.
Mike, again, speaking with Mike Rowe, CEO of Mike Rowe Works. Mike, can you, I get these emails all the time because this is something I'm passionate about. I talk about it all the time. And so I'm telling you right now, there are a whole bunch of parents leaning into the radio when they hear, wait a minute, scholarships? Scholarships to what? Because I get questions of, Jesse, where do I even find a trade school? Where do I go? How long is it? Could you please explain that process to every parent of teenage boys like I am who's interested in this? I have a 16-year-old. He's already told me that's where he's going. I'm interested in this. What do we do?
Sure. Sure. Well, the first thing, not to oversell it, but you have to understand the totality of the problem and what's caused it. 7.6 million open jobs in manufacturing and skilled trades is a result of something, right? And it's really two things. First, it's just bad math. We've got a demographic problem. For every five tradespeople who retire this year, two will replace them. And it's been that way for 12 years. So the labor pool gets smaller and smaller every year. We also are still dealing with stigmas and stereotypes and myths and misperceptions and just all kinds of bad information that have led people to conclude that there's no real opportunity in these vocations. That's why we got where we got. To answer your question, there's many, many ways to find a trade school in your area or an apprenticeship program or a community college that might offer some kind of OTJ or on-the-job training. It's as simple as going online, honestly. You can go to my website, microworks.org, and while you're there, there's always a big pile of free money. I mean, we do this every 9 months. And, you know, I mean, we're modest by foundation standards, but still $12, $13 million is left a mark. So my advice to parents really is to don't make the mistake that got us here in the first place. I don't know what's best for your kid, but I do know that they deserve an honest look at all of the options that are out there. And, you know, I worry that when we put our thumb on the scale, we just skew the whole conversation to the point, your point, actually, that these misperceptions are keeping kids from giving these trades an honest look. Last point, sorry for the filibuster, but it's important. Not a week goes by where I don't get a call like the one I just got from the Blue Forge Alliance. These guys represent 15,000 companies who collectively build our submarines. They've got to deliver three per year to the U.S. Navy. I'm talking Virginia class and Columbia class subs. Incredibly complicated and really, really important part of our national defense. These guys called me. I swear to God, I'm not making it up. They said, we're having a hell of a time finding tradespeople. Can you help us? I said, maybe. How many do you need? They said 140,000.
Oh.
140,000. They said, we've looked everywhere. Do you know where they are? And I said, yeah, man, I do know where they are. They're in the eighth grade. And that's what we're dealing with now. Not a week goes, I've heard from the automotive industry, 80,000 openings in collision repair and technical jobs. The energy industry, my God, don't even get me started. 300,000 openings at least, welders, electricians. I just talked, I was at a conference, the Aspen Ideas Festival, whatever that is, but I was there. And I listened to the CEO of BlackRock and Wells Fargo talk about the need for 500,000 electricians. So these guys got the memo, Jesse. It's like it's out there, and you can start to see the ship turn around. But the bottom line is the opportunities are real. Scholarship money is available. The country needs enthusiastic skilled workers way more than we need enthusiastic paralegals and actuarial accountants. With all due respect to those vocations, AI is coming. AI is here. Those jobs are in peril. Plumbers and electricians, job security like I've never seen before.
He is Mike Rowe. I am a fan. Mike, I don't hardly ever have guests on my show. It's a very rare thing. You can come join me anytime you want. This is what young men need. I want to point this out. MikeRoweWorks.org. MikeRoweWorks.org. Parents, I'm sure you're scrambling there right now. Go. Mike, I appreciate you very much, my brother. Come back soon.
Appreciate you too, man. Have a great and happy Independence Day.
You too. How about that? We'll be back.
Feeling a little stocky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a magnificent Thursday. Smile. Put a smile on your face. You can almost sniff Independence Day from here, although honestly, that might just be Chris. I'm smelling. It's Independence Day Eve. You can email the show, Jesse at jessekellyshow.com. Now, as promised, let's discuss, because somebody emailed in, and it may sound basic, and a lot of it may be basic, but people don't know the difference between the House and the Senate and you know, which group is worse for rhinos and whatnot. Well, first, let's discuss this. The founders of the country, they were obviously obsessed with ensuring people could be free and would remain free. And it's easy to pick at the Constitution today, Declaration of Independence, Constitution, all those things. But keep in mind what a daunting task it is, not to create a government for the moment, to create a government that will last. You have to create a government that it's not just good for 1776. Is this kind of government, is it going to be okay in 1876, in 1976? What are we dealing with here? And one of their challenges was, how do we ensure smaller states don't get smashed by larger states? Because even back then, there were rich, powerful states like New York. How do we ensure that smaller states and their desires don't get trampled by the larger states and their desires, while at the same time ensuring that the population is properly represented? And let's pause on this for a moment, because maybe you're thinking, well, they were all unified back then. I want you to know something. A lot of people actually don't know this. Religion, various forms of Christianity, they were different state to state back then. And I don't mean small differences. There were Quakers and there were Presbyterians and there were multiple. So one state would have, you know, this is their belief system, and the other state would have this belief system. They did not always get along. In fact, they were at each other's throats a lot. From the outside looking in, probably for someone like Chris, that kind of looks crazy. I don't get it. It's the Bible. It's Jesus. Why aren't you getting along? And honestly, I kind of think the same thing lots of times, but just know that it did matter to them. So there were big differences, religious differences, central banking differences, all kinds of differences back then. How do you set up a government where the people are represented equally? No, so everybody will have a member of the House of Representatives. He represents so many people, and the small states don't get stomped by the big states. That small states not getting stomped by the big states, that's why they gave us the Senate. That's why Montana gets the same number of senators as California. That's why Delaware gets the same number of senators as New York. When it comes to the Senate, large or small, the states have equality with their representation. Now, let's discuss what we talked about before, about how it's so different now than it was then. Senators get elected how now? By vote. By a statewide vote. So if you want to get elected senator in Arizona, all the citizens of Arizona will go decide, well, I want this person to be my senator. That is not, absolutely not, how it was supposed to be in this country. Before the 17th Amendment, the state legislatures they would pick a senator to go represent them in Washington, D.C., created a completely different type of representation in the Senate. But let's not talk about what it was. Let's talk about what it is now, because you asked, who are the worst rhinos? What are the different things? Well, you could probably argue, and Thomas Jefferson would argue this, that the House is more powerful, at least should be more powerful, because the House has the power of the purse. It is the House of Representatives that controls the budget, that controls everything. That's how it's supposed to work. But the Senate also has crucial roles to play. Crucial roles to play. Different than the power of the purse, but crucial roles. Like judges. Those haven't been in the news at all, right? Judges? Yeah. The Senate has to give the old thumbs up or down on all those judges who are doing all those terrible things. By the way, if you want a little light reading that'll make your head pop off with rage, go read how many Republican senators voted for these communist judges who are screwing everything up, or skipped the vote entirely, and them skipping the vote is the reason these communist judges got approved. Anyway, we're not having time for that. We're not doing that today, because that's just going to make me angry. Now, you ask which group of people are the worst rhino-wise? It's always the senators. I know there are bad members of the House, but I've said this before, I'll say it again. There is a tiny, relatively tiny cabal of 10 to 15 GOP senators. 10 to 15 GOP senators. They are the ones with their foot in the door, holding the door open for Democrats to savage this country like the animals they are. People like James Lankford, Mike Rounds, Bill Cassidy, John Thune, Mitch McConnell, John Cornyn. I could go down the list. Curtis, Lindsey Graham, all of them. They are the ones, you know, they'll give you a little win here and a little win there and a little win here. And right when we get to that crucial moment where we can drop the hammer on communism and stop it, boop, stop it right then and there, that's when they'll step, whoa, 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 guys, I'm Lindsey Graham. We can't do that. I'd rather bomb every country on the planet than stop American communism. The Senate is where the rhinos are. And that's why it's so beneficial that we are getting rid of them. The Tom Tillises, John Cornyn, I believe, is going to lose his primary. In fact, he probably will drop out ahead of time. Another thing to feel good about. Anyway, let's do another hour. Let's do all kinds of stuff. What would the show be like if Chris left China in the 2020 election? Let me talk to you about this. How do the pipes look in your house, in your walls, in the ceiling? How do they look right now? Oh, you can't see them? You know that those pictures you treasure in that baby album, wedding album, they are one pipe burst away from disappearing forever. You can't duplicate them. You can't get them back. You are one wire turning into a fire. Yes, I know that rhymed. From losing all those home movies you have, camcorder tapes. It's one of those terrible things. You don't think you want to get a hold of Legacy Box until you lose it. And then you hate yourself that you didn't do it ahead of time. Do it while it's 50% off. Digitize those memories so you'll have them forever. Pipes, wires, fires, it doesn't matter. 50% off. LegacyBox.com/Jesse. I rest easy knowing my memories will be there forever for my great-great-great-grandkids who I'll never meet. They'll get to know me. LegacyBox.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
On Newt's World Podcast, we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. And I ask my guests how they're spending their 4th of July. Brett Baer.
I will be working. I'll be in Washington because it's a big, big day.
Jared Isaacman.
I plan to be flying in an F-5 fighter jet painted in Freedom 250 colors along with four other fighter jets flying over the nation's capital.
Listen to Newt's World on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Why?
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
As America marks its 250th anniversary, we're looking back at 2.5 centuries of rebellion and liberty through the eyes of the heroes who defended it.
The whole thing about this country is freedom. If we're not careful, we could lose that.
On Medal of Honor, Stories of Courage, we bring you the defining moments of valor that went above and beyond the call of duty. Listen to Medal of Honor on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.